So good to be able to worship together, and we're going to look at God's Word. And I'd like to read Philippians 2, 12 through 16. Can we give attention to this, not only with our minds, but with our hearts, as we ask God to help us to understand and apply it today. Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, beginning at Philippians 2, 12, I read, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." What went wrong with the writing assignment in Mrs. Flayton's fourth grade class? Well, you have no idea, but I do, because I was a student there. And I will tell you that now. And here's what happened. We were assigned to write a story, a simple story, and all of us in the class wrote a story. And one of my classmates wrote an amazing story. It was really good. So good that Mrs. Flayton had her read the story to our class. And this story, Mrs. Flayton was so impressed with that she began to share it with the other teachers. Can you believe how good this story is that she had written? Turns out one of the teachers recognized the story. It was a common children's story, copied word for word, except that the names in my classmate's version were the names of other students in our class. And that was the only change that she had made from that story that she pretended she wrote. She dishonestly presented herself as having written it. And of course, she did not. And Mrs. Flayton came, and sadly, Mrs. Flayton, the dear teacher, she was very sad, very upset at what had happened, and told us about it as students. Well, in the age of artificial intelligence, unless your head is in the sand, you know that the temptations to dishonesty, not only academic, but in other ways, have multiplied greatly. Is that really you? Is that really you? Is that what you wrote? Is that what you think? Is that you, or is that somebody else on the other side of some machine? And this reality, the temptations that surround us, the platforms of common cheating, the patterns of dishonesty, even in our own lives. Let's be honest about if we're honest. These alert us to our need for God, our need for his grace, his working, his power, his transforming help. And so as believers, for us, growth in honesty comprehensively requires that we engage in continual and vigilant effort. We need to be working on honesty. We can't just sort of go on cruise control and expect that we are going to continue to grow in honesty. And today we're looking at the importance of work from God's Word and how we should work, as we consider God's Word. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 speaks of and commands believers to effort, to work. Sometimes people have an idea, and I just accept Jesus and I do nothing. Well, if you do that, you're not going to grow. Here's what God's Word says about effort and the command to effort. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." It's a command to continual and consistent effort. That's the force of the verb. It's a command to work in obedience, to work in your growth. And all of these things apply to every aspect of our growth, every aspect of our sanctification. So any area you need to grow in, this is some part of understanding that. We're going to apply this most heavily today to our growth and effort in honesty, because that is the topic of our series. And so, is this specifically about honesty? No, not exclusively. Does it apply to honesty? Yes, because it applies to every other area of growth as well. And we only grow in this obedience as we put forth effort, continual, consistent effort. That's what we're going to consider today. And I hope that then we have, with God's help, the ability to navigate the difficult challenges and temptations that surround us so that we are growing in honesty. I submit to you that I think these new technologies are only going to lead to greater and greater enslavement to sin unless they are matched with honesty. And if we have to lie about what we're doing, we're probably definitely moving down a track of being enslaved. Let's look at the context of Philippians 2, verses 12 through 16. Just a reminder where we're at. Paul's writing to gospel believers. He's thankful because of their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He says in Philippians 1, 5, and 6, he's sure that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion the day of Christ Jesus. So this is who they are. This then connects with everyone who is a believer. It applies to those who are not in the sense that they can hear and believe, but this is particularly about the work of God in the life of a believer, as Paul's writing to believers, and he urges them around a unified work in the gospel to advance the gospel by humble servanthood. That really goes back all the way to chapter 1, verse 27. If you follow this, the theme and the flow of Philippians, Paul is all about the unity in the gospel through humility and servanthood. And then he lifts up Christ as the example of servanthood, the one who died to make believers his own, the Lord of all, to whom all will answer and proclaim as Lord. He's been exalted and glorified, and every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. That's where we're at. And now in Philippians 2, verse 12, Paul moves into the believer and their growth. The effort for that growing, he's encouraging it. And he's not leaving behind the relationships with one another and humility in that, but this is then a core foundational reality of that effort and connection with one another, the work of God and the responsibility we have to cooperate in that work. And he gives then examples that Timothy and Epaphroditus and himself that continue on. So we are considering then this application of the gospel to our lives as believers in growing, and we have a responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. Responsibility, right? Some people want to circumvent that. Just, oh, here's a bunch of stuff. No, we have a responsibility. And that's what we're considering today for growing in honesty in any aspect of growing. Here's an overview of some of the things we've considered. You can look at our website or listen to any of these messages. We've talked about forgiveness as it relates to honesty, Bible meditation as it relates to honesty, wisdom from the fear of God as it relates to honesty, the renewal of the Holy Spirit as it relates to honesty, disciplined prayer life for growing in honesty. These are all important things, right? These are responsibilities too. Some of these, Spirit-empowered gospel community, we enter in and have real relationships with one another, and by the Holy Spirit's work, we continue to grow. The heart cleansing and humility in Jesus that we need for honesty and for growth in honesty. And then speaking the truth in love, a kind of a good summary statement of healthy Christian community, just speaking the truth in love, which is a part of what honesty is and how honesty grows. So today we're going to talk about growth in biblical honesty takes effort. And here we're considering the work out in the context of Philippians chapter 2. Effort is clearly involved here, spiritual effort, as those who have been redeemed by God's grace. And we're considering first how believers must work out to grow. Work out in the sense of exercise is a common metaphor that we use, but here it's the effort of continuing to live in Christ and grow in our sanctification in the process of our own salvation. But we must work. Secondly, we can do this work. We expend effort because God works in us. Isn't that good news? We're talking about the grace of God. Now we've got grace, not just to get saved, but we've got grace to work and grow in our salvation. And God is working in us so that we can do the work. And then we find some really encouraging things related to God's work. God enables us in our willing and in our working. Sometimes we're like, well, I don't really want to grow. It's like, well, that's a really serious place to be. But every believer in Christ, God is working in them so that they do want to and can will. And God is working in them so that they work and can do the work of growing in humble servanthood and growing in our walk and growing in honesty. So this is effort. Biblical honesty takes effort, but it's effort empowered by God and His grace. Effort is necessary for growth. God enables our effort and growing. He works in us in a way that, as Paul points to it here, believers, as they are growing, are shining as lights. Does anybody think it's kind of dark out there in the world? Not a whole lot of honesty? Not a whole lot of the things that honor and please God? And it's like, well, of course, that's pretty obvious, right? Well, how do we live out there differently? How do we live in a way we're shining as like honesty lights in a dark, dishonest world? Well, it seems that Paul's kind of moving into that in these next verses. And you may say, Pastor Bruce, is there a connection to honesty of this passage, or you just grabbed this because it's about Christian growth? And I say, well, mainly grabbed it because it's about Christian growth. But as I look at these next verses, it does seem that there is an honesty connection. Follow it with me here. Paul says, in the context not just of their Godward life, but also their interaction with one another, do all things without grumbling or disputing. And grumbling here and in the rest of the Bible is that turning away from God in distress. If you're in distress and you turn away from God, that's grumbling. Biblical groaning, it may sound like the same thing, but it's very different. Biblical groaning is in that distress, crying out to God and trusting Him. So we groan in our distress, but we don't grumble, because we want to be moving toward trusting God, not away from God. And Paul's language here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 is clearly out of Deuteronomy 32, verse 5. If you want to write that down or look over there. Like, oh, this song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32, verse 5, uses a lot of the same language that Paul uses here. Oh, only in Deuteronomy 32, 5, Moses is talking about Israel's unbelief so that they were not shining as lights. And they were the crooked and perverse generation and were not living blamelessly. But here now, believers, chapter 2, verse 15, are living blamelessly in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. In other words, they're out there, but they're living differently, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Notice the contrast. Our honesty as believers while living in a world of dishonesty. And what is that honesty? It shines like a light. And then look at verse 16. Notice believers shining in a way that reflects Jesus in the midst of this world of dishonesty, this holiness and obedience to God, our Father, connects to the gospel, clearly. Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Paul's envisioning them continuing all the way to the end to glorification. Like, yeah, you're there in God's presence at the end, this gospel that you really believe really did save you, keep you, and bring you all the way there, and you're holding fast the word, and you're holding out the word. It's only as we hold fast to the word do we hold out the word to this world that so desperately needs the word. But it's got to start with that we're shining, that we're looking different out there so they can hear the word that we hold fast to. So there is an honesty connection, but let's look at first the importance of work, effort. Believers must work out to grow in honesty. The command here is to produce. We're going to talk a little more about that. It's an effort that's enabled by grace. This isn't the opposite of God saving us by grace. I believe all of that. This is saying grace enables us to do something. And that's a part of our sanctification and God's continuing work in us. And then Paul bolsters this four ways, this command to effort, so that we, with proper grace-shaped kind of way, expend the effort to grow. That's what he's saying. Let's drill down and look at this once again. So important. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so Paul's acknowledging they were faithful believers who were growing, so now, not only as in my presence, they did it when he was there, but much more in my absence, he's not there now, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And if you look at that word, that particular Greek word, many of the times Paul uses it, it has the idea of produce or bring about. It's not in a way that's earning salvation. We'll talk more about that. That's clearly not biblical. But it is in a way of living it out. Like the VBS theme this year, right? Live it out. Don't just say you believe. Live it out. Don't just have salvation. Live it out. And God's work in us so that we continue in it and live it out is what Paul's talking about there. Let's look at that word salvation. Therefore, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I know that there are scholars who believe that this is not salvation in the sense of deliverance from sin and wrath, but salvation in the sense of social health. And sometimes scholars, in my view, are far too creative for their own good. That simply does not fly at all. First is the word salvation in the vast, vast majority of situations in the Bible means what we know as salvation, deliverance from God's judgment by God's grace and forgiveness. But secondly, if you look at that, one of the reasons scholars sometimes say that is because this, in context here, there is a social interaction sense. And I agree, but understanding this in the terms of salvation and deliverance from God's wrath still enables us to have a application to social interaction. We don't need to twist what the Bible is saying to get to that. I could give you more reasons, but clearly this here in Philippians 2:12 is using the word salvation, which commonly refers to what we know of as salvation, and the power for living and growing to interact with one another in the right kind of way is being addressed here in the context of what Paul is saying as it relates to individual believers, not just some kind of general thing out there, but things that are going on in here by God's work in us. And what's best to do is to understand this word salvation, the way the Bible uses it, is that it sometimes refers to what has happened in the past, our justification. We've been delivered by God's grace through faith when we believe in Jesus and when our sins are forgiven and we're declared righteous before God. And sometimes it refers to what is happening in the present, that God is now working in us so that we are being saved. This is commonly called our sanctification, and that's clearly what Paul is getting at here. And sometimes the word salvation speaks of what is yet to come when we stand before Jesus and are made to be like him in glorification. The Bible uses the term salvation in all three senses. Those who have truly been saved are now being saved and will be saved at their glorification. And there's no separation between these things. Romans chapter 8 pictures these as a reality that those who are truly justified will be glorified. So here Paul then is speaking not about works-based salvation, but work in your salvation. The reality of growth that happens in the life of a believer. And here this is framed around this phrase, work out your own salvation, which clearly points to a reality of each individual believer's responsibility. Now, I want to point you to a verse in Philippians that has all three phases of salvation. And it's the Apostle Paul's own personal testimony. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, here he's talking about his effort in his growth, in his pursuit of Christ. And not that I have already obtained this or already already perfected, but I press on. There's Paul's effort, right? Effort in his own personal growth and sanctification. Paul is not lazy, and neither should we be. I press on to make it my own. That would be glorification. At the end, when I stand before Jesus, I am there. I am glorified, and it is now salvation is completeness. But notice, Paul, the ground for both his effort and his glorification is because, past tense, Christ Jesus has made me his own. That's justification, right? When Jesus makes you his own, then you are his. And he is working in you in this process of your sanctification, and he will bring it to completion at your glorification, which is exactly what Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says. He who began a good work in you, that's at your salvation when you believed, will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus and all the way in between, right? And that's the process now of your sanctification. So in that time, right now, you're there, what do? You look to Jesus, you trust in Jesus, and you put forth the effort to grow, to obey. And part of that effort is in this area of honesty, one area of our sanctification. I want us to consider how Paul bolsters this command, this imperative. One way is the therefore. Therefore, in other words, based on what's gone before, that Jesus is your Savior. He died on the cross for you. He's the ultimate example of humility. He went to the cross, he gave himself, he became obedient to death, even death on the cross, and God then highly exalted him. He was exalted by the Father, and every knee will bow, every tongue will confess him as Lord, and he's your Lord. So if he's your Savior who died for you and your Lord, therefore, put forth the effort. And then Paul appeals to the love that he has for them. Is this pastoral concern? He's not just heavy-handed here. Guys, you got to obey. But no, my beloved is like, he cares for them. He wants them to in this growth. That's his pastor's heart. The third is their obedience previously. If you've already obeyed and you've been obeying and growing in obedience, why are you going to quit? So you obeyed before, now continue to obey, he's saying. And then the fact that Paul is absent. Paul's absence points to something profound that is present. Someone profound that is present, which is verse 13, that God is present. Paul is absent, but God is present. That's why to obey the command and how we can obey the command. We'll talk more about that. And then Paul adds the qualifier with fear and trembling. And I want us to think about, is fear and trembling, continue to work out your salvation, your own salvation with fear and trembling, is that a threat or is that an encouragement? Is that a threat or is that an encouragement? Now, if you find yourself falling into a pattern where you lie and lie and lie and you see it not as a problem at all, to be dishonest. You're lying about even that the fact that you believe with any sincerity, then perhaps there should be some threat to the fear and trembling. If you have no desire to put forth effort at all, if you're just playing a game, see no problem with the consequences that may come about because of your deceit or you're ignoring the reality of God's word, maybe there should be some level of threat. But I submit to you that mainly I see this fear and trembling not as threat, but encouragement. And I want to tell you why. The why is because when Paul writes this, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, is the first reason for the why. Philippians 1, 6, Paul is confident in the case of true believers. I am sure that he who began a good work in you is going to carry it on to completion. They who are in Christ are indeed secure. Not because they're so great, but because God is a God who is working and will continue the work in them. That's number one reason. The second is, when you consider this verse in its context, what comes as the reason in the next verse is profoundly encouraging. Because God is at work in you. The Almighty God is at work in you. And I think the fear and trembling is with the sense of the awe that, are you kidding me? God, Almighty God, is at work in me. He's at work in me. That boggles the mind. But that's the truth for those who are indeed believers in Jesus Christ. So continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God is at work in you. Stand in awe of that fact and be encouraged, bolstered in this growth and the responsibility of growing. And can we just kind of like take that responsibility? Wow, that's a big, big responsibility. I need to put forth the effort. And all of the reasons, all the bolstering, the therefore, the beloved, the previous obedience, that Paul is absent, but God is present, the qualifier with fear and trembling, it's amazing, Almighty God is working in me. Take all of that and say, okay, where do I need to grow? Is it that I'm 100% honest about money, sexual integrity? Is it 100% honest in my words? What I say is really what I do? Is it 100% honest with my use of technology and media? Honest about how much I use technology and media? Honest about my weaknesses, patterns, food, etc. Where in all this honesty stuff, like, there it is. I need to take responsibility there. It's going to be different for all of us. But let's not go, oh, nice verse, and stop. The verse is saying, take responsibility. Continue vigilant effort all the time to work and grow, right? That's what God's word is saying here. Now, then let's look at how we can. We expend the effort, we can and should, and I think this is more emphasizing can than should. The command is the should, but here then we can, because God works in us. God is at work in us. Verse 13b says that the reason then that believers can fulfill the responsibility is because God is working in us. If we truly know Jesus and the Spirit dwells in us, we have this promise, and it's not just, oh, an occasional time. This is the continual working of God to continually help us to fulfill the responsibility to work. It is by grace that the Philippians and us have come to believe. It's by grace that Philippians and us continue to believe. And this grace is not only the grace related to coming to believe and continuing to believe. This is grace that empowers our effort. Our effort, including growing in honesty, then, is not something to say, hey, look at me, I did it. It's rooted in me. It is not rooted in me, is it? The effort we take is rooted in God and his grace. It flows from the working of God in us. Isn't that exactly what he's saying? For it is God, the reason we can, it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It's God's grace giving us what we need so we can work. It's God's work so that we do work. This is not then merit producing, but flows from God's grace. Can you guys help me by going back to the first point and the quote by Dallas Willard? I think this is where I've been led to put it. The Bible is opposed to earning, not to effort. So we're not getting credit for this, even in doing the work. It's not, look at me, I'm amazing, I have merit here in what I'm doing. Our salvation is of grace, and our growing is of grace. But we do work. We do put forth effort. Paul does command 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, discipline yourself for growing in godliness. And this discipline, this work, this effort includes growing in honesty. That's what I'm putting before us to consider, that we need to put forth the effort, but God gives us the grace for the effort in that growing and responsibility to do it. Now, in this series, we've had this wonderful slide of the spring, the unseen spring. I want you to just picture this right now, just for a minute, that you know you have an unseen spring in you if you're a believer. The unseen spring is the continual, perpetual working of Almighty God and his grace working in you to enable you to do what God has called you to do, commands you to do, and is pointing you to do for your growth. So can you do it? Anybody? Can you do it? Yes, absolutely. Yes, because God is working in you. You have the unseen spring of God's grace to help you to grow. Now, you may say to me, Pastor Bruce, if that's true, why do I disobey? Why do you disobey? Why do you sometimes fall into complacency? And the answer is that you still have a responsibility, right? This doesn't erase that. And God typically doesn't erase our choices, but our choices are our choices. This is real responsibility, but real enabling from God to fulfill the responsibility. This is not some kind of contradiction where if I'm responsible, then God isn't enabling me, or if God's enabling, I'm not responsible. No, it's both. And I have, believer in Christ, that bubbly font of blessing and provision in the working and grace of God every day, in every way, for all the ways that we need to be growing and doing the work. God is at work within you. And not only is God at work, but God is working in some really cool ways in the specifics of that work. I want us to consider the second half of that verse. God enables our willing. Anybody say, oh, man, sometimes I don't even desire it. Well, God is enabling the desire, according to this, for every believer in Christ. And sometimes you say, man, I don't feel like I have the energy. Well, God is enabling the energy. He's giving you the energy, according to this, for the believer in Jesus Christ. This is so encouraging. This is also why the command to effort is 100% consistent with salvation by grace through faith, because the power and working to do what God commands us to do is enabled by God's grace which influences our willing and working and doing the very things God wants us to do as we work out our salvation. We grow in our sanctification. So God energizes our willing and enables our working. Isn't that good? He does this so that we obey him. We grow in honesty. We're able to take hold of the responsibility and move forward with it as God would have us do. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The desire that you need is there by the working of God. The grace that you need to do the work is there by the working of God. And this works, the way God works in you, is the Greek word energon, which is sounds like energy, because it is, right? God gives you the energy. If you look at Colossians chapter 1:29, you can see that Paul says he toils because of God's energy. He's not saying God's energy means I don't do the work. He's saying God's energy helps me to do the work. Same is true with us. God's energy working in us enables us to do the work, enables us to act because God acts upon our will and enables us to put forth the effort and growth and obedience and service and everything, humility, honesty, because God is working. So this points us back to our responsibility, but allows us to see that as we trust in God, we can fulfill our responsibility. It's God's grace, God's goodness that helps us. Now, speaking about energy, I just want us to think, is anybody feeling like, man, I know, Pastor Bruce, I'm supposed to be doing these things to grow. Whatever it is you're supposed to be doing, you know it. It's confession, it's repentance, it's Bible study, it's prayer, it's accountability, it's relationships, the people that speak truth to us. It's just stopping doing the things that are wrong. It's starting to do more of the things that are right. Whatever it is, I know I'm supposed to do that, but I just seem like when I'm sitting here, hearing you, or reading the Bible, whatever, I'm like, I'm all well-intentioned, but then I seem to lack the energy. And I just want to point us to, you know, I think we need to maybe consider something like the Peterson grandkids, just for a minute. So do they have the energy? Yes, they absolutely do, right? Now, we see these little guys running and going, and they definitely have the energy. And as I think of this text and think of all of us and maybe our struggle with energy, just to realize, wow, I guess I really do. No matter what my age, what my stage, how much I got on my plate, whatever, it's like, no, I really do, because God says he's going to give it to me. He's going to give me what I need, the will and the work, the energy for it. Because of God, you do have the energy, like those 7-year-old grandchildren. You really do have it, no matter what your age or stage, because of his grace and his enabling. So I just want us to kind of step back and look at Philippians 2:12-13. Just kind of one last look and consider this as a paradigm for all Christian growth as we apply it to our growth in honesty. And to me, it's just a wonderful summary of responsibility and grace empowering. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out, that's continue to, put forth the effort continually, your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The command and the reason is the grace working of God in us that we can do the work day after day. And I want to encourage two aspects of response. First is, if you've never yet received the gospel, you can do so today. The Philippians, had received it. He, that is God, had begun a good work in them. Why? Because they had received the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And you can take that step today if you haven't yet taken it, to turn to Jesus in true faith and receive the gospel. Then God is now then beginning that good work in you That good work in them began when they believed. It continued on as they grew, and God continued it all the way to the consummation at their glorification. That same God in any person who believes is doing that good work. Notice the work of God here in Philippians 1:6, the work of God in Philippians 2, verse 13, continued all the way to glory. Now, for the believer, the focus here today is on that this grace working of God enables us to fulfill our responsibility to grow. And you're not going to do that if you're sitting here today and saying, oh, that's good, I need to do that. You're going to need to make some specific plans. If you're struggling in a particular area, you need to get tough with those plans. You need to get concrete with those plans. You need to get specific with those plans. It's not likely just good intentions here is going to get you. No, you say, okay, what are the specific aspects? Begin by admitting any dishonesty, any areas of dishonesty. Confess these in repentance to God and ask for help. Concretely do this today and every day. And secondly, then seek out and be honest with someone else. And so often there's a breakthrough moment when you pass from just being, trying to be honest just with yourself and God and say, I'm going to bring a trusted brother or sister, counselor, pastor, accountability partner, sponsor. I'm bringing somebody else into the loop here. I'm going to tell them that they can speak the truth in love to me. And then set up some disciplines. When do you spend time in the Bible? When do you pray? What is your practice around gathering for worship, growing with other believers? If you're just on cruise control without working on it, you're probably not going to grow. You need that sustained discipline. And this text lines up with that. It's not discipline of trusting yourself. It's discipline of trusting God and his grace working, but it's taking responsibility to do what God is enabling you to do. Let's pray. Lord, we all need grace, and we're so grateful you give grace, not just grace to begin the journey, to turn in belief, Lord, but grace to continue, grace all the way to the end. We thank you for Jesus who died and rose from death to secure for us forgiveness and our eternal destiny. We thank you, God, for the working of your Spirit in us as believers that continues to keep us and hold us and guide us, strengthen us, encourage us, enable us. Thank you, God, for that working that helps us to fulfill our responsibility to grow and to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ, including this whole area of honesty, God, to be aware of the threats, the distractions, the temptations, the patterns, to confess those that dishonor you, Lord, and to move forward in a kind of life that would shine like lights in this world of darkness and dishonesty, Lord. May that be us as individual believers and as a community of believers for your glory. We thank you for your grace. We pray it in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen.